Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Manatee Teaching Ministry. Evangelist Brenda Amos coming to you live from Manatee Teaching Ministry, and I just thank God for being able to come before you again. I want to give God glory and praise for giving me the opportunity to preach this word tonight. We're still talking about the soul and the importance of the soul and what the soul is, because a lot of people don't know what the soul is, the soul and the spirit. But we're going to start in Genesis chapter 2, when the first word time soul is used as a word is in Genesis 2 and 7. And this is when God created man and he became a living soul. And the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So it's three things that's happening in this verse. First, God is forming man of the dust of the ground. That's this natural body. This body was taken from dust. It's in the natural. It exists in the natural realm, in the physical world. God took dust or dirt from the ground, which is a physical element, and created man. So everything that is physical, everything that's in the physical realm, man is to have dominion over. Now, spiritual things, we're not going to have dominion over those, because those things belong to God. But the Bible says that man is to dominate the earth. The earth was made for man. Just like Jesus said, the Sabbath day was made for man. There, everything that's here was made for us to enjoy, was made for us to use for our pleasure and to uplift God with, you know, not to hoard and to be greedy. That's why the Bible lays down certain laws about the things of the earth, how we are to treat each other and how we are to use things that God has given us. So, but God formed man of the dust of the ground, which is the physical element, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, the breath is symbolic of the spirit. So we see the natural man here being formed. We also see the spirit of man, because the Bible says God breathes into the nostrils of Adam. Now, Adam, the Bible says, first of all, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him in the book of St. John must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we know that God is a spirit. God's spirit breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he breathed the breath of life into Adam through his spirit. So that's where our spirit comes from, through the breath of God. And the Bible says, and man became a living soul. So the spirit came from God. The Bible says the spirit of man is going to return unto God who gave it. But the soul is what belongs to you and I. The soul, the Bible says, man became a living soul. So we are a natural man in a spirit. We have a spirit, but we also have a soul. And the soul of man is what is going to live eternally. The soul of man is the invisible things of man, the things that you cannot see, the pain, the ability to feel pain. You can't actually see pain, but you can feel pain, our feelings, amen? Our five senses are all in the sensory realm, which are touch, sight, hearing, smell, taste. All of these senses are in our soulless realm. We can taste things, you know, in our soulless realm. We can feel pain. We can feel pleasure in our soulless realm. We can touch things, you know, but these are not, we're not just talking about the physical realm, but we're talking about the soul of man, which is eternal. So the Bible says man became a living soul. So this lets us know that living, that word living means eternal. It's the same word for eternal, an eternal soul. Man became an eternal soul in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So that's why when we come to church, we don't just come for our natural man. We come for our soul. We come for our spiritual man to be built up. That's why the Bible says always praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, building up our spiritual man. We have to be more concerned about the soul than we are about the natural. That's why Jesus said, don't put your treasure in earthly things, but put your treasure in heaven. Amen. Well, moth and dust doesn't corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal. He said, but let your treasure be in heaven. Amen. He says, seek to please God. That's why our soul is what gets born again. Not the natural man. When you get born again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit shall be in you. Jesus told Mary, told the woman at the well, he said, he shall be in you a well of water, a river of living water. springing up out of you into life eternal, talking about the soul, talking about the Holy Spirit. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, that takes place in our soulish realm. The Holy Spirit comes into our soul and lives and dwells in our soul, not in this physical body. He lives and dwells in our soul. Amen? And he unites with us, and we become one with him. We become one with God through the Holy Spirit in our soulish realm. So that's why God says, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy mind, and all of thy soul, all of thy strength. Because all of these things take place in the soulless realm. Your mind is in the soulless realm. Your will is in the soulless realm. That's why Jesus said, not as I will, but as you will. He said, shall I pray, take me away from this day? He said, no. He said, but for this day came I, for this hour came I to the earth. To die. Jesus was born to die. That's why the angel told Mary, he said, a sword shall pierce your soul, because this child is set for the redemption of many and for the repentance of many. Jesus was born to die for the sins of the world. That's why John the Baptist said when he saw him coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. Praise the Lord. So Adam became a living soul, and through that he passed down, mankind became living souls. So now we should see ourselves as souls, not as just merely mankind, but as souls, amen, eternal beings, amen, because that we are going to live forever somewhere, whether it be in heaven with God or be in hell with the devil. The Bible says, to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, that's whose servant you are. So if you obey God, then you can go live with God eternally in the heavens. But if you don't obey God, if your master is Satan, or your father, spiritual father is Satan, Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the wishes, the desires of your devil, you will do. So he was talking about their spiritual father, amen, is Satan. And Satan has many children, and he is leading many people astray. The Bible says, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. He has many people deceived into thinking that they're doing the right thing, that they're serving, you know, the right God. When in reality, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except he come through me. So all any other way, he said, all that came before were thieves and robbers. Any other way that you had to get to God except through Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life. For the Bible says eternal life dwelleth in him. He is the Prince of Life, the Bible says. He is the Prince of eternal life. He has eternal life dwelling in him. That's why when Lazarus was dead and he came to the grave and he said, Lazarus, come forth. What did Lazarus' sister say before that? She said, my brother's dead. We know he shall live in the resurrection. What did Jesus say in John chapter 11? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Praise God. I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I shall raise it up. Well, we know that another scripture says God raised him up. But Jesus was God. He was the Son of God, the Trinity God. You cannot separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate the Trinity. Jesus said, destroy this body, and I will raise it up in 3 days. So he was talking about new life. He was talking about a new body. Amen. This body is going to corrode. This body is corrupt. But the new body is not going to be corrupt. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But, amen, we're talking about the soulless realm tonight and why the soul is important. We need to study more about the soulless realm and understand exactly what is the soul. Amen. So let's turn over to Mark chapter 8, verse 36. And we're going to start in verse 34. And the Bible says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. So Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, to be a follower of Christ, we have to deny self. Amen. You have too many people trying to follow the Lord or not follow the Lord, but too many people are living and existing trying to please self, trying to please themselves. The Bible says that Moses rather suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Moses, amen, was our example, amen. God is more pleased. The Bible said he don't delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, but he delights in you putting him first and selling out to him in obedience. He said obedience is better than sacrifice. So we have to walk in obedience to God. But the Bible said you must deny yourself, take up your cross. That means the cross is a burden for people to bear. People do not want to hear about Jesus, but you have to take up your cross daily and follow him. That means the burdens of the cross you have to carry. You have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. I don't know what your cross is, and you don't know what my cross is, but it's whatever can help us to preach the gospel and to be closer to God and can to kill our flesh man. Amen. That's taking up our cross, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. The Bible says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So here Jesus is talking again about losing your life. He said, if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's sake, that means don't worry about yourself. Stop worrying about you. Amen. It's not about you anymore when you get saved. He said you have to lose yourself in him. You have to lose your life. He said if you lose your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, which is the fact that he died on the cross, he was buried for 3 days, he was in the earth, and he rose from the dead. That is the gospel that we are to preach. The Bible said if you lose your life for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. And in preaching the gospel, you are saving your life. You are saving your soul. You are gaining eternal life. Amen. For the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, which the devil wants to offer you the world, but you lose your soul? That's why he came to Jesus and he told Jesus. He said, if you bow down and worship me, which that's what he wants most of us to do, follow him, bow down and worship him or follow him. He told Jesus, he said, if you bow down and worship me, he said, I will give all of this to you, all the kingdoms. The Bible says he took them to the highest mountain and showed them all the kingdoms of the world, not just one kingdom or one country, but all the kingdoms of the world. That means that he has the world in the palm of his hand. That's his kingdom, the worldly kingdom, the Bible says, which is the cosmos world in the Greek. The world, the physical world, belongs to Satan. The Bible says that he told Jesus that. But look, the Bible said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So these two verses in Mark 8 and 36 and 37, what shall it profit you? Hallelujah. How are you going to be profited if you gain the whole world, but at the same time that you're gaining the world, you're losing your soul? The Bible says it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. The disciples said, who then can be saved? Because everybody wants to be rich. Amen, and I understand that. But we have to allow God, if it's God's will for us to be rich, then we will be rich. But it's not God's will for everybody to be rich, because everybody can't be rich and remain saved. Everybody can't be rich and serve the Lord. Everybody can't be rich and put God first. Everybody cannot handle riches. God knows if you can handle riches or not. God knows what possessions you can handle and remain faithful to him. Amen. How many times throughout the Bible do we see where people gain fame or wealth or possessions and turn their back on God? I mean, fame and riches and possession tends to make you get built up in yourself and think, look what my hands, like King Nebuchadnezzar said, look what my hands have accomplished. God raised him up. God blessed him. God made him king over the world. And what was the first thing he said? Look what my hands have accomplished. And don't you know God took it away from him in a moment of time? God just caused that man to lose out on everything. And the Bible says he walked through the wilderness like an animal. He lost his mind for 7 years. He was an insane person, couldn't even rule his kingdom because God allowed his mind to be taken. But after 7 years, the Bible says when he came to himself, when he realized who God was, God restored his mind back to him. Amen. So that's the type of God we serve. He loves us so much, he won't give us anything that's going to detract us away from him. And we have to trust him enough to know that he loves us so much that if he says that we don't need something, it's because it's going to take us away from him. It's going to detract us away from him. Amen. So the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God doesn't want us to lose our soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. This is verse 37. And the last verse in this chapter, the last verse in this chapter period is verse 38. The Bible says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So evidently, being ashamed of Jesus is part of losing your soul and profiting in this world. Some people, when they get riches and fame and wealth, they become ashamed to talk about Jesus. They become ashamed to speak the word. Now, when you don't have nothing, and I don't use my Ebonics here, when you ain't got nothing and you down on your luck, it's easy to talk about Jesus to people because people expect for poor people to have nothing to talk about God. But when you up on your game and your A game and you have things and God is blessing you, can you still talk about him? Can you still preach the gospel? Can you still tell people they need to be saved when you have everything that you need and more? You have surplus because you have an abundance, amen, of possessions. Can you still lift up the name of Jesus? Will your love be just as strong, or will you lose your first love when you gain riches and fame? The Bible told the church in Revelation, thou art rich, and sayest, knowest not that thou art poor and naked. This church was saying they was rich and they had everything. Jesus said, you're poor, you're naked, you're wretched. Amen. He said, go do your first works over. See, that's what's wrong with a lot of people in the church. When God starts blessing us, we forget where we came from. And that's not just with Christians, but that's with people, period. We tend to forget, tend to look down on people, tend to think we better because of what we have, forgetting. But for the grace of God, there that would have been me out there on the street sleeping on that park bench. That would have been me out there selling my body for money, trying to put food on the table. That would have been me. You know, so how quickly we forget when our memory is so short sometimes, we forget where we came from. But Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. So let's go over to Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And we're going to start in verse 28. And the Bible says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment? And Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul. Remember, we're talking about the soul tonight. With all of thy mind and with all of thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. Verse 33. He said, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's the scripture we just read. Verse 34. Verse 34, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man dared ask him any questions. So here we see in verse 33, this man knew the word. He said to love him, love God with all of your heart. Now remember, we're talking about the soulless realm. To love God with all of your heart, all of your understanding, that's your mind, all of your soul, that's your soulless realm, and with all of your strength. That means everything that is within you. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. That means I wouldn't do anything to my neighbor that I wouldn't do to myself. I would look out for my neighbor. I would take care of my neighbor. Yes, we are a brother's keeper. Amen. But the Bible said that this is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Amen. So, but Jesus said, when he saw that he answered discreetly, he said the truth, but he wasn't sold out. You can know the word, but you cannot be walking in the word. This man knew the word, but he wasn't walking in it. Jesus said he answered discreetly. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Knowing the word, you can see the kingdom, But you cannot walk into the kingdom until you actually start walking in the word. Amen. When you got to walk this thing out, you have to apply the word to every area of your life. And the Bible said no man dared ask him any questions after that. Amen. So that scripture right there talks about loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, your understanding, and with all of your strength. Amen. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Still talking about the soulless realm. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she said in verse 46, well, we're going to start in verse 39. The Bible says in Luke 1 and 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And she greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now this was her being filled with the Holy Ghost speaking, so she was prophesying in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that she said, and from whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she was prophesying about Mary being the mother of God, of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in verse 44, for lo, or as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. So John the Baptist was leaping for joy in his mother's womb because Jesus was in Mary's womb. So these babies were communicating with each other in the soul, in the spiritual realm, even before they were born. The Bible said John the Baptist, as soon as Mary spoke, he leaped in his mother's womb. Now this is very deep if you think about it, that babies can communicate, amen? But the Bible says in verse 45, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord, talking about Mary. And look what Mary said. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. So when you're walking in the word, your soul is what magnifies the Lord. When you get into church and you start praising God, you have to get out of the natural and let your soul just begin to praise God. Let your soul, your spiritual realm, man, begin to uplift the name of Jesus. That's when you get caught up in the spirit, amen? The natural man is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal man is enmity against God, the Bible says. So we cannot serve God in the flesh. Amen. Paul taught that so many times to the church. He said, you know, you started off in the spirit, do you think you can end up in the flesh? Paul always talked about the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. Well, this is the same thing that's going on here. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, remember in Genesis 2, we talked about when the man was formed, God breathed the breath of God, which is the spirit of God, breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. So we have a spirit, and we have a soul. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That's what we praise God with, our soul. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Amen. So her spirit was rejoicing, and her soul was praising him. So she was just caught up. And look at what she said in verse 48. She said, for he have, and I just feel the Spirit of God as I'm saying this, he have regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She was such an humble person that God chose her to carry the Jesus, the Lamb of God, and to be birthed into the world through her. She said, he have regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all nations shall call me blessed. Amen. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Mary knew the Lord. She loved the Lord. Amen. She said, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. She said he lifted up Jesus. She said he lifted up God. He that is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is his name. And the Bible says, and his mercy on them that fear him from generation to generation. Amen. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abided with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Amen. So here we see Mary, the mother of Jesus, magnifying God with her soul, amen, and uplifting and rejoicing in her spirit that God had called her to birth Jesus into the world. He said, all nations shall call me blessed. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 35, and go over one more chapter. Okay, we're going to go down to start in verse 25. And the Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. So he was saved, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit, here go the Spirit of God again, leading him, amen. He came by the Spirit of God into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. In verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And Jesus is the salvation of the world. That's why the Bible says his name shall be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the word Jesus means. It's another form of the word Joshua. It means deliverer or judge. So Joshua and Jesus is similar, same root word, and it means deliverer of salvation, he that brings salvation. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, talking about the non-Jewish people, and the glory of thy people Israel. So Jesus is a light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. So he said that Jesus was going to be a sign to Israel that was going to be spoken against, but he was set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, those that believe and those that do not believe. Amen. The Bible said many in Israel was not going to believe, so they were going to fall. The Bible said he is set for the fall and the rising. That means the Jews that believe, because we do have some Jews that are born again that do believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The Bible said he is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. Verse 35, and this is a verse that I often quote in Luke 2 and 35. The Bible says, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'm going to talk about this for just a moment. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Now, when Mary saw Jesus on the cross, her baby, you know, he was a friend to many. He was a brother. He was a spiritual leader. He was a deliverer. I mean, but he was Mary's baby. Amen. And when she saw her child being put to death, so she had to give him up for the world. She had to surrender him to the world. She had to watch him die. Can you imagine watching your child die? It's one thing to lose a child, but to actually see that child death in such a gruesome way, in such a horrendous way, to see your child being spit on, to see your child being beat, slapped, the Bible says, to see your child being nails being put into your child's hands and feet, to see them hoisted up on the cross, to see them dying slowly, you know, and suffocating to death. This was something that most mothers could not deal with. The Bible says, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. So that means her soul, remember we're talking about the soul tonight, her soul was going to be hurt. She was going to be cut to the core. The Bible says a sword was going to pierce through her soul also. Not only that was Jesus going to be hurt, but Mary was going to be hurt as well. He said a sword was going to pierce through her soul. That means that it was going to cut her to her core. It was going to hurt her to her heart, to her soul, what was going to happen to her baby. Amen. But the Bible says a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts, and now why did God allow this to happen? He said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In the death of Jesus, your heart, your thought of your heart, the Bible said the word of God pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, amen, and the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So Jesus was the word, amen. The word of God, Jesus Christ, separates the thoughts of the heart. He said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So in Jesus, that's how we find out what do we really feel about God. If we accept Jesus, if we walk in his word, then our thoughts are going to be revealed, because the Bible says God, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. God is only concerned about what's going on in our heart. Amen. The Bible says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed and say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not in where? In your heart. Amen. So faith takes place in your heart. Amen. The Bible says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The Bible talks about faith taking place in your heart. You wonder why you don't have faith? You have to check out your heart. You have to ask God to take everything out of your heart that's not of him. Take all doubt out of your heart. Take all unbelief out of your heart. Ask God to just fill you with the word. You have to walk in the word. You have to study. Show yourself approved. You have to study. You know, be walking in the things of God. You have to have a relationship with God. Amen. He said, but that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. Now, let's go on. I could talk about that all night, praise God. That was in Luke chapter 2. Let's go over to Luke chapter 12, verse 19. Still talking about the soul. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 12, up in verse 13. And the Bible says, one of the company said, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. We talked about how hard it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom. And we know that a lot of people want things, amen? A lot of God's people want things. And there's this false doctrine going around in church called the prosperity gospel, which is a false gospel straight from the pit of hell, that if you give, that God is going to give back to you. It's like playing a lottery. You give $50, you're going to get back 100-fold, $500,000 or $50,000. God doesn't work like that. God deals according to what you need. If you need $50,000 to do something that's going to help you get closer to him and build up his kingdom, of course, at the right time, he will give it to you. But if you just want $50,000 because you gave $5,000 and you're looking for $50,000 back, that's not the right teaching. God, number one, God gives you what you need. If you need money, he will give you money. But so many times our blessing comes in so many different ways. You know, our children being saved, our children being healthy, our family being healthy, you know, our God allowing us to, you know, have so many different ways that he blesses us, having food on the table, being able to pay our bills, just little small things, you know, having enough to make it. Whereas there are some people that don't have enough, that wish that they were in your shoes, wish they had a roof over their head where they could pay their own bills, wish they had a home. There's so many homeless people. There's so many people that don't have clothes, that don't have a change of clothes. They may have two or three things that they can wear, and they have to wear the same thing two or three times a week. You know, our blessings come in different ways. Look at the person that's locked up in jail that lost their freedom. You have your freedom. That's a blessing. You know, there's so many things that we take for granted. But the Bible says, take heed and beware of covetousness. I've seen this spirit of covetousness try to creep into the church, and it's coming in through the leadership, first and foremost, because preachers are preaching about things and about being rich and about prosperity. That is a spirit of covetousness. That, and the Bible says that's one of the commandments, thou shalt not covet. That means things. You should not have a spirit of covetousness for things. The Bible says beware of covetousness. Let's look at why. The Bible says, what is covetousness? Okay, well, Jesus explains it right here in Luke 12 and 15. He said, for a man's life, your spiritual life, your spiritual man, life consists of not, eternal life consists of not in the abundance of things that you possess. So many times the preacher wants to tell you the abundance of things is where it's at. That's what you need to be seeking after. No, Jesus said, beware of this false doctrine. He said, for your life consists of not in the abundance of things that you possess. And he spake a parable unto them to explain this even more. See, Jesus wanted us to know what was coming. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And this rich man said within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, the rich man said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. So he was going to pull down his barns and build greater barns to bestow all his fruits and goods, because he didn't have room. He had so much stuff he didn't have room for. Amen. But the Bible says, and this is what he said in verse 19, and I will say to my soul, now he didn't say to his natural man, he said to his soul, because remember we talked about the soul being the seat of their emotions, the seat of your will, the seat of your ability to feel pleasure and pain. I will say, so this man knew what he was talking about, so he knew the word of God. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, you don't have to work no more. You can just relax and enjoy life. You have much goods laid up for many years. But he did not, amen, prepare for eternity. Look what he said. He had things. All he was caring about was things. But the Bible says in verse 20, God said to him, thou fool, when you only think about things, God calls you a fool. This God came to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? God don't want us so preoccupied with things that we lose sight on salvation. Amen. The Bible says, preach the gospel. Amen. So this man, he was not preaching the gospel. He was not using his riches to spread the gospel of the kingdom. He was not telling people to repent. Like Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was telling people, he was just hoarding it and being covetous and building more barns to hold everything. God called him a fool because he didn't prepare for eternal life. The Bible says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Look at verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I hope you hear what God is saying tonight, saints. Don't lay up treasure for yourself. Don't be so concerned about covetousness and going after things and trying to have an abundance. The life don't, your life don't consist in the abundance of things that you possess. But he said, be rich toward God. That means preach the gospel. Amen. That means build up God's kingdom. Be more concerned about the things of God. Amen. You have to be rich toward God and let God bless you. Amen. Don't just be looking for to hold up to keep things to yourself. Be a blessing. Seek to be a blessing. Like Abraham was, he was blessed to be a blessing. This man should have been more of a giver. He should have been sharing his goods. Instead of building more bonds for himself, he should have been giving away the extra stuff. He should have been trying to find a way to be a blessing to somebody. But no, he was trying to hoard it all for himself. The Bible said, then who shall these things be? Amen. So let's go on, amen. I'm finishing up. We're going to go over to St. John chapter 12, verse 27. And we're going to start in verse 27. That's the beginning of the paragraph. Jesus was talking here, and he said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? And this is another verse that I quoted earlier about Jesus when he was going to die. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. So this was Jesus when his soul was in travail, amen, and when he was about to die, because he knew he was going to die. His flesh, didn't, of course, nobody wants to die, and their right mind wants to die. So he was saying, what shall I say? He said, my soul is troubled, because he knew he was going to have to die. So your soul is where your thoughts and emotions are. Your ability to feel pain. Jesus knew that he was going to die. And he said, my soul is troubled. He said, but shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? No, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. So God was with there with Jesus in the garden when he was going through, when his soul was troubled. The voice came, God's voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it, that it thundered, said, no, an angel spake unto him, because he was praying. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So he, in verse 31, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So when Jesus died on the cross, he brought judgment to the world because the prince of this world, Satan, was going to be cast out. He said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lift up Jesus. Amen. Just like they lifted up the serpent in the wilderness when the snakes were biting the children of Israel. They put a serpent on a pole, and that's what the medical doctors use now as a symbol of healing, is the serpent on the pole. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. This, he said, signifying what death he would die, because he was going to be lifted up on the cross. He was going to be put nailed to the cross on the ground and then lifted up into the air. Amen. So he said, this signifying what death he was going to die. The people answered and said, we have heard of the law that Christ was abided forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? But Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. There are so many people that's walking in darkness. He said, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Amen. But the Bible says in verse 37, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Then the saying of Isaiah, or Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, he have blinded their eyes, talking about Satan, he have blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them, talking about healing your soul. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Amen. So Jesus is steady talking about the importance of the soul and the importance of salvation and not coveting things. Amen. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. I'm going to close out in a minute. I just want to finish this up. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, we're going to start there with the first verse because that's the paragraph. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now, this is talking about the church. They were of the believers. They had one heart and one soul. Amen. And this is what we're going to close with. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed were their own. This is how the early church dealt with their possessions. They didn't say that anything they owned was their own. They had all things in common. That means all the possessions belonged to the church. Amen. That means that, you know, they all were one. They all were united. Amen. The Bible says that they did not count their possessions. Amen. But they had all things in common. And I wonder sometimes, is this what is missing from the church today? What if our personal cars and homes were used for the church to build up the kingdom of God? No one would be homeless because people would be sharing their homes in the body of Christ. No one would be homeless. No one would be without transportation because my car would be your car. Your car would be my car. You don't see that going on nowadays. People look at you like you're crazy. People don't even want to pick you up for church hardly too much, much less letting you use their car. But That's because we don't have all things in common. And I'm not saying that you should be a fool and just give your keys to your neighbor or give your key, because this is not the time that we're walking in. But I do believe that through persecution that's coming, it's going to come again a time where we're going to have all things in common and be glad to do it. But right now, people are so selfish in the church. They might take your car and have a wreck in it. They might abuse the privilege. So it's not the right timing for this. But I'm just saying, in the early days, this is what they were doing. They were sharing all things. No, they had all things in common. No one would be without transportation. No one would be hungry in the church. All things in common means that they shared their clothes, their food, their bank accounts, their money. It's an entirely new way of living for the church. Not that everyone would be excited about doing that. Many would lie to the Holy Ghost or the church leaders about what they possess and drop dead, like Ananias and Sapphira did, amen, over later on in the book of Acts. But this having all things in common gave the apostles great power. So let's read the next verse in verse 33. The Bible says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So God was pleased with them having everything in common, because the Bible says great grace was upon them. Look at verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lied, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. Amen. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So that's why there was no need. God didn't want the church to depend on the government to support his people. He wanted us to support each other. Amen. And the Bible says they sold everything. They brought the price of the money that they got, and they placed it at the apostles' feet. And they laid down the money at the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed it to every man according as they had need. And Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, was a Levite and of the city of Cyprus, having land sold in and brought the money and laid it at the apostle's feet. That was Acts 4:37. So this is having all things in common. It gave the church great power, and God was pleased because his hand was with them, and it gave power to the church to testify of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this message tonight. I enjoy bringing it to you. And I'm going to be back with you again. I'm going to try to do two more messages this week, so you just have to watch my Facebook posting. If you want to, you can check Blog Talk Radio on the Manna Teaching to check the latest message. Or you can, if you're on Facebook with me, you can check my page and get the latest message, because I always post it to Facebook. Like this one will be posted in a few minutes on Facebook. But I just want to say God bless you. I love you. I thank God for you, those of you that are faithful listeners. I do apologize because I did not preach any messages last week, which I do apologize for that. That's what I'm trying to make up for this week by doing three messages this week to try to get back on my schedule. There's a lot of things going on last week, but there's no excuse, because this ministry is very important to me, and I thank God for it, and I want to be faithful to it. So God bless you. I love you, and I'm signing off. This is Evangelist Amos signing off from Manna Teacher Ministry. I love you with the love of the Lord. Good night, and be blessed. Peace.